Chapter 5. Friday night in the Hennepin County Medical Center ER could resemble a violent punk rock Halloween party, but the evening was young. The ghouls and gangbangers were still home, primping their nose rings and polishing their tattoos.
Sam Kovac fuck me sideways.
He can do that? Liska asked. A man of hidden talents, our Sam. Kathleen Casey, trauma nurse and ER pitbull, waved a hand in dismissal as she marched up to them.
The hell if I know, but I'd rather find out than deal with these people.
She rolled her eyes toward the waiting area, where reporters and camera crews were perched on the furniture like a flock of vultures.
God save us from the media. Give me your average street scum any night.
As if on cue, several of them spotted Kovac and started toward him.
Kovac! Detective, do you have any leads? Do you know what prompted the attack? Did this have anything to do with the ruling on the doll case?
The usual cacophony, rapid-fire questions they knew damn well he wouldn't answer. Kovac held up a hand to ward them off.
No comment.
Casey took an aggressive step toward them and shooed them with her hands.
Back to the chairs with you before I break out my taser.
Casey had been through the wars. Kovac called her the Iron Leprechaun, 5 feet nothing, with a hedge of maroon hair and a sweet Irish mother kind of face that drew people to her so they could confide in her, then implode in some spectacular way. Kovac had known her forever. She was a longtime veteran of HCMC, with a brief stint at a small-town ER in the Minnesota hinterland, also known by Kovac as Outer Mongolia. He tried never to venture south of the airport, east of the river, west of the 494 freeway, or north of downtown.
So what's the story with our Vic?
He asked as they started down a side hall at a quick clip.
Resident pain in the ass will want to fill you in ad nauseum, she said. Quick and dirty? Someone beat the ever-living crap out of her.
Sexual assault? Liska asked.
No. She's conscious?
Yes, but she hasn't had a lot to say.
I wish we could have said that earlier in the day, Kovac muttered.
They had all heard about Judge Moore's ruling on Carl Dahl's past criminal record. Carrie Moore had been a kick-ass prosecutor, but on the bench, she had earned the motto, "More is less," giving perps a benefit of the doubt no cop in town believed they deserved, and they felt betrayed because of it. The resident making notes in Judge Moore's chart looked like she had probably been the president of the science club in high school, last year, drowning in her lab coat, stringy brown hair scraped back into a ponytail, and black plastic rectangular glasses. Liska shoved a badge in her face and got aggressive.
So, spill it, sweetie, I want to get home before menopause sets in.
It was always fun to set young doctors back on their heels before their egos could metastasize and take over their humanity. This one used a lot of $50 words to explain that their victim had a mild concussion, a couple of cracked ribs, and a lot of nasty bruises and abrasions. The uniformed cop who had answered the initial 911 call had filled in Kovac and Liska on the details of the assault as they had walked the crime scene. Moore had been on her way to her car in the parking ramp adjacent to the government center. The assailant had hit her from behind, knocked her down, smacked her around. Apparent motive, robbery. If anything Moore had been on the agenda, there hadn't been time. Moore's car alarm had gone off, and the mutt had run away with her wallet. Kovac looked over the top of the doctor's head and into the examination room. Carrie Moore was propped up on a hospital bed, looking like she'd gone 5 rounds with one big badass dude. The bruises hadn't turned blue yet, but Kovac had seen more than enough victims of beatings to read the damage and predict what would greet the Vic in the mirror the next morning. There was a contusion on her forehead, crowning a lump the size of a golf ball. One eye, the flesh around it already swollen, was going to turn black. A short line of stitches crawled over her swollen lower lip like a black ant. She had a cell phone pressed to one ear, alerting the scavengers out in the waiting room or complaining to the mayor how people weren't safe on the streets, no thanks to her. He moved past the doctor without acknowledging her, walked up to Judge Moore, took the phone out of her hand, and clicked it off.
What do you think you're doing? She demanded.
I'll need your undivided attention, Judge Moore. That is, if you want your assailant caught and prosecuted to the full extent of the law, you might care about that more now than you did a couple of hours ago.
She snatched the phone back from him and turned it on, never taking her glare off his face. I was on the line with my nanny, letting her know I'm going to be late and not to let my daughter see any news on television. I don't want her to find out from strangers that her mother has been attacked.